Guys, ready for your class? All right, can I have all the kids' life stand up? We thank God for our kids and for our teachers. Praise the Lord, you guys, all of our volunteers and teachers, thank you for your time and your effort. And Father, we just lift up our kids to you, and Lord, we just thank you that you're doing a mighty work in them. You began a good work in them, and you're faithful to complete it until you return. So Father, help them grow today. Help them learn and understand and give them wisdom. And Lord, help them to fear you and give them the understanding of the fear of the Lord. And Father, just minister through our teachers and let our kids' life be a fun place and a place where they learn about God and a place that produces lasting fruit. And bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great class. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead and begin there. It's a new month. So we have a new theme for this month. And we're calling it just simply the blessing of obedience. There was two things that the Lord put on my heart. One was this scripture in Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 19. And then when Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, where he performed his first miracle, his mother said something to the servants. She said, whatever he says, do it. Because what he was about to say wasn't going to make sense in the natural mind, but it wouldn't make sense in the spiritual mind. And when you do what God says, you're being obedient. So if you're in Isaiah, say amen. And chapter 1, let's start back with verse 16. And he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. You know, when we stop doing evil, we're going to have to learn how to do good, amen? Because we're so used to before someone comes to Christ, evil is our natural tendency, even if you're good, because you're dominated by a sin nature. So when you come to Christ now, you've got to learn how to live this Christian life. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Now look at verses 18 and 19. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And little did I know how much it was going to snow with this verse, where we have a life-size example of the brilliance of like snow. And then he says in verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, say willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, say refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So I want you to get this picture here. The Lord is telling the prophet, he said, come, let's reason together. Did you know that God has done some things for you? He saved us, healed us, delivered us, set us free, all right? He brought us out of the pit, put ourselves on a rock. And he said, though your sins were scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My sin, which leaves a terrible stain, can be washed through the blood of Jesus, and it's like white, brand new, pure. All right, pure, brilliant. And then he says, but if you be willing and obedient. You know, when the Lord has done some things for you, he does it for a purpose and for a reason. Number one is because he loves you. Number two, he's got a plan for your life that he created you for. There's problems that you were created to solve. And in once you're washed in the blood, that's the first step in serving God. Then he wants you to live and follow his instructions, obey his commands, adhere to his statutes. So he said, if there are two qualities now that he's talking about, a willingness and obedience. And God will never make you do anything. If he could make anybody do anything, he would make everybody get saved, right? If he could make you do anything, he would make everybody get saved. But then it wouldn't be a choice. So you have to make a choice if you're going to obey God or not. If you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You're going to eat good. Anybody besides me that likes to eat good? I love to eat good. Well, how much more will you eat good when you're doing what the Lord says to do, you're following him, you're serving him, and you're in line with him? If you be willing and obedient, God will never ask you to do anything without giving you a promise if you obey, a reward if you obey. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What does it mean to be willing? To have a willing heart, a willingness. It means to be eager. It means to be enthusiastic, ready, agreeable, helpful. If you're willing, we all have a will, don't we? Have you ever heard someone say, I did this because I willed it? You know, they just made up their mind and they did what they had to do. I'm willing to go to the gym and work out. Why? Because I want the benefits of a buff bod. No. There you go. Fiona wants the benefits. But I do want to walk in health. I do want to live a healthy life. I want to live as long as I can and do as much for God as I can. And I don't want my body to limit what I can do or what I can't do. So I'm willing to go and ride a bike for 5-6 miles, lift weights. I'm willing to sweat. I'm willing to get up early, do whatever I have to do. I'm eager. I'm ready. I'm inclined to. I've consented. I've yielded. And believe me, the first week, I couldn't bend my arms straight. Yeah, I've gone through some pain. It's been sore, but I consider it like an investment. It's going to cost me now, but it's going to pay back later. Same thing is true with the Lord. You know, you don't have to do what the Lord says to do. People don't have to come to church. They don't have to get saved. They don't. But what's the alternative? Hell? A miserable life? You know, if you gain the whole world but lose your soul, what have you profited? God doesn't make anybody do anything, but he gives them a choice. And you have to decide if you're willing. That's the first step. And you can't be one without the other. Well, I'm just obedient. You know, it was like a little kid who was in church and, he was in school. And the teacher said, I'll just say Johnny. He said, now, Johnny, sit down. And Johnny said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Was Johnny willing to do what he had to do? No. See, sometimes you can do the right thing with the wrong motive. And God always sees your heart. On the outside, you could be obedient. But on the inside, you could be unwilling, and God sees that. And if you don't have these two together, you will not eat the good of the land. You will not get the best that God has for you. God has the best things in mind for you. And there is such an awesome blessing about our obedience. And to be willing means you're inclined to do something upon request. You know, when we read the Bible, we look at many people whom God asked to do things that seemed impossible. See, you know, and maybe something, God has asked you something and maybe you wonder why. That's okay. God's not nervous about your questions, amen? Because sometimes he understands this. You know, he understood when he told Mary that she was going to have a baby without knowing a man, huh? What are you talking about? But we know that Mary was willing because she accepted what he said no matter what. And her only question was, how's this going to be? And he said, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow you. And that which is born in you is going to be the Son of God. Okay. Be it unto me according to your word. Now, you can't tell me that in that moment she understood everything. But she was willing to accept what God asked her to do. And she was obedient to do it because 9 months later, Jesus was born. And thank God. What if Mary didn't obey? What if Mary would have said, I'm not going to do that? Okay? God would have had to found someone else in the righteous line that was willing to do it. You know, when we're unwilling to do something, we just hinder the blessing of God from ourselves. Okay? All right, let's look into this a little bit. Go with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 81 and verse 12. Just want you to see something about inclining your heart. You know, I found it interesting how obedience was directly connected to how we hear. Did you know if someone gives you an instruction and you don't hear that instruction, it's going to be very hard to follow that instruction. If that instruction is hindered in any way from getting to you, it's going to be hard for you to follow that instruction. So our obedience is directly linked and connected to how we hear and how we hear his voice. All right? Psalm 81, verse 12 says this. I got to turn the page here. He said, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Well, let's go back. And let's go down to verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you, O Israel, if you will hearken unto me. That word hearken means listen. There shall no strange God be in you, neither shall you worship any strange God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. You know, when we're unwilling to follow an instruction from God, we're left to our own demise, our own counsels. How many know that we're not going to be so successful on our own? Of course, you've heard this before. You know what the theme song in hell is? I did it my way. My way. When you say, I did it my way, then who is your Lord? Jesus has a highway, and it's his way. Verse 12, all right, I already read that. Verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, listening and obeying, willing and obedient, hearing and doing. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. when we have a willing heart, when we're eager and ready and prepared to do whatever God says to do, His hand will be against our enemies. Verse 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied you. God is capable of taking care of us, but His taking care of us rests on our obedience to Him. You don't have to obey, but there are consequences for not. You should obey because there are blessings because if you do. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. Look at let's go to verse 16. Isaiah 48:16. Come near unto me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Verse 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit. How many are grateful that the Lord teaches you to profit? He will. He knows more about profiting than anybody. All the gold and the silver are His. You talk about the little boy's lunch. He fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, and got 12 baskets full, left over. Now that man, he knows how to invest. Give me 2 fish and I'll give you 12 baskets. So the Lord will teach you to profit. He'll lead you by the way that you should go. Verse 18, oh, that you would hearken to my commandments, and your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. See, following God, being willing and obedient, will produce peace in your life. It'll be like a peace, like a river, flowing to you, moving to you. But it's based on what? Listening and doing. Say, I'm a good listener, and I'm a quick doer. Say that one more time. Say, I'm a good listener, and I'm a quick doer. I'm quick to obey and do what He says. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Did you know that your healing is based on your hearing? And then the action that you do in response to what you've heard will produce the power that brings the healing? Exodus 15, 26. And said, if you will diligently hearken or listen to the voice of the Lord your God. How many can recognize His voice? How many know what His voice says above any other voice? You know, we got to distinguish between the voice of God, the voice of reason, the voice of my opinion, or the voice of my neighbor, or whatever voice. There are many voices in the world, but can you distinguish which one is the Lord's? When the Lord is speaking to you, do you recognize it as the Lord? You know, because the Lord spoke through a donkey. If you have a problem with the donkey speaking, you're going to miss what God said. So if God can use a donkey, He can use a preacher, He can use a child out of the mouth of babes. He can use nature, the heavens and the earth, declare the glory of God. Oh yeah, God has got a lot of ways that He can speak. It's not a matter of Him speaking, it's a matter of us listening to what He says. If you, notice all these things about listening start with if. If you diligently, I'm a diligent listener. I'm an attentive listener. I focus in on the conversation. I'm not thinking about what I'm saying, what I'm going to say in response to what you're saying. I'm listening to what you're saying. When God is speaking, people listen. God's better than E.F. Hutton. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight. Notice he said, don't do what's popular, do what's right in his sight. You know, every day we have choices that we're going to make. Choices of how we're going to raise our kids, what we're going to do as a family. People have a choice of where they can go to church. I'm a firm believer that you're here because God planted you here. And you grow best where you're planted. Amen? And I think people should spend time in prayer before choosing what church to go to. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm visiting this church, I'm visiting that church. And that's okay. But you know what? It'd be better to hear God's voice on the matter. You know, there were a lot of churches that I probably wouldn't have gone to except the Lord told me to go to. And there was a church that I wanted to leave, but I couldn't until the Lord released me. You mean we don't even have a right to leave a church if the Lord says, yeah, if you don't agree with me, that doesn't give you a right to leave unless the Lord says go. And if the Lord sends you, he's going to have something else for you. But it's based on our listening and our willingness to do what he said. If you're willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You'll eat the good of the land. That's the blessing of God. We'll give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with a sickness, you might have to see what the Lord says in order for you to take the proper action. Because maybe what you knew to do in the past is not what God wanted to do now in this particular situation, so you got to take some time to hear his voice. Yeah, it's very easy to do. I can do what I know I can do. But maybe that's not how God wants to do it in this particular case. So you got to take some time, listen to his voice, then respond with proper action. But see, now after you've taken time to hear his voice, now you're going to take the right action. And what? You're going to see better results. Don't just do what you know to do. Oh yeah, I can just go up front and he can lay hands on me. Yeah, because laying on of hands are good, but maybe the Lord wants to do something different. Did you ever take time to sit and listen to what he has to say about it? Or are you just operating by what you know? Well, then whose counsel are you taking? I mean, it's very easy to rely on your experience or on your past or on your environment, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that those things should lead us. As many as are led by who? The Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what's leading you? Your past? Your experience? Your feelings? Those are not good leaders. Is that true or not? Are you with me? Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Was Joshua an experienced fighter? Yep, because even when they came out of wilderness, he was Moses' general. Whenever they fought an enemy, he would say to Joshua, Joshua would gather the troops, and they would go out and fight, okay? But now, it's a whole different situation. Moses is dead, and Joshua now has the responsibility of bringing the people into the promised land and dividing their inheritance. Big responsibility, right? How are you going to do it, Joshua? Just take a quick look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even unto the children of Israel. And he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you, as I said unto Moses. See, so he didn't just say, do what Moses did. He said, I want you to listen to me now to see how we're going to approach this thing now. Because what you did with Moses was great, because that's what I spoke to you then, but I'm going to speak to you something different now. And then go to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. See, if you're speaking it, you're hearing it. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, for then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. You notice God didn't tell him to go study Moses, did he? Look, I want to develop my leadership. I'm Joshua, and I got to bring these people in, so I'm going to go get everything that Moses did, and I'm going to do what he did. No. If Joshua would have done what Moses did, he would have failed. Because Joshua had to develop his own hearing now. Now, he had developed this because when the tabernacle was set up, Moses would go and he would talk with God and the glory of God would come down, but then Moses would leave and Joshua would hang out there. So he developed listening by the tabernacle. When Moses would leave, he would develop his listening skill. He would hone in on God's voice. He would be able to recognize what God said. And so here God tells him, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. And he's telling him, Joshua, look to the word for your answers, because in the word has all the answers that you need. The only thing that he told Joshua to do was look into the word, speak the word, so that he can do it. Was Joshua willing? Yes, he was. Because we know that he took Jericho. He defeated Jericho like he never defeated any enemy before. Before, he would go to battle. But this time, for 7 days, he had to march around the city and be quiet. How hard is it for us, if God tells us to be quiet, to be quiet? Joshua never fought this way before. But he had a word from God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. He saw that guy with the flaming sword, and he said, are you for us or are you against us? He says, I'm the captain of the host of the army of God. And he gave him instructions. And the instructions were, walk around the city 7 times, 1 time per day. But on the 7th day, walk around the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, shout and let the trumpets blow. And Joshua heard the instruction. Why? Because he followed it. He followed it exactly. He didn't deviate from the plan. He walked around Jericho 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 day, 7th day, 7 times, 7 times, shout, trumpets. What happened? Kaboom! The city fell. The city fell because he did what God said to do. If Joshua would have relied on his experience, Jericho would still be standing today. But see, he heard something from God, and he was willing, he was eager, he was prepared to do whatever God said to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Lord, deliver us from our thinking sometimes. Because our human natural tendency is to rely on what we know, our experience. My experience is comfortable. I'm comfortable with this experience. Yeah, but God may want to stretch you a little bit. He may want to cause you to grow a little bit. Do you mean the Creator would actually have me do something different? Imagine that! What kind of a creator is that that's always coming up with new things? Hence That's what a creator does. They create. So Joshua did. And as long as he did what God said do, what happened? The walls fell. All right? Go with me to Genesis chapter 26. I wasn't intending to talk about Isaac today, but the Lord put it on my heart. So if this is for you, just receive and may it apply to you, all right? Genesis chapter 26, and we'll start with verse 1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Everybody say famine. What's a famine? No food, shortage of water, income is rough, unemployment is high, people are mumbling, grumbling, bad news, the economic news is terrible. Everybody wants to stone the treasurer and everybody that has to do with finance. A famine. What are you going to do in a famine? You better take time to listen to what God says. And you better be willing to do what he says do, because that is the only exit out of the famine, is doing what God said do. And this wasn't the first famine. This was beside the first, this was another one that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, under Gerar. I don't know if he went there to ask for help. I don't know if he went there to make an alliance, but he went to the king. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him and said, say and said. What did the Lord say? Say, aren't you glad? Oh, I want to be like Isaac. I want the Lord to appear to me. Really? Are you sure? Isaac didn't pray, Lord, appear to me. He just did. If the Lord appears to you, fine. The Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. You know, we have to listen to as much as what God doesn't say, or when he says no, to as much as his yes. Why shouldn't I go down to Egypt? What's God keeping me from Egypt? Why shouldn't I go down to Egypt? Because he's the Lord. And you do what he says. There's a reason for why God tells us things. There's a reason why he doesn't tell us things. Bible says leave the secret things unto God. If God wants you to know, he'll let you know. If he doesn't, just believe him. Just go by faith. Amen? Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Okay, so here's Isaac. I can't go down to Egypt. All right? You just dwell where God tells you. Okay? What are you doing, Isaac? Oh, I'm just waiting for God to tell me something. I'm not moving until he does. You see, you got to understand something about Isaac. He saw the obedience of his father. He saw how his father Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, knowing that God would resurrect him if he killed him. He said, Father, I see the lamb, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? He heard his father say, God shall provide himself a lamb. Okay. Isaac didn't fight with Abraham. See, if you want your kids to obey, then you obey. Be the example of obedience. So Isaac learned, okay, now look at verse 3. Sojourn in this land. Wait a minute, God. Didn't you hear Fox News said there's a famine in this land? God says, yes, I'm well aware of that. Dwell in this land. But Lord, there's a famine. Dwell in this land. Which is a louder voice, the voice of the famine or the voice of God? What happens when you go here? I will be with you. What if Isaac went down to Egypt? God wouldn't have been there. But I thought God's omnipotent. Yeah, but his manifested presence in Isaac's life would have been null and void. His presence is where your obedience to his instruction and promise is. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto you and your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. That's talking about his family or his heritage. And I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham or Isaac could reference the obedience of his father. And he saw how God blessed his father because his father obeyed. Now, I know that Abraham did not have a talk with Sarah about sacrificing Isaac, I guarantee you. Because there might have been some conflict about obeying that command. But you know what? That took a lot of guts. It took a lot of courage. Go sacrifice your son? Okay. Verse 6. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. What does that tell us? Isaac was willing and obedient. He was willing to do whatever the Lord said do, no matter how much it went against natural thinking. God wants me to dwell here in a famine? Well, listen, God is greater than a famine. God is greater than a famine. God is the source of all good things. All good things come down from him, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance, there's no shadow of turning. Our God is a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. You don't think he can take care of you in a famine? He can. Question is, are you doing what he said and are you listening to him? Are you willing to be opened to something new? That's a really good test. You're going to take the new opportunity test. How do you react to something new? If you're not sure about it, just be silent and give it some thought. You know what Mary did? She kept these things in her heart. You know, when she heard something that she didn't necessarily understand, she didn't talk about it. She just kept it in her heart. Okay, Lord, she kept it in her heart. And sometimes, if you don't understand what God is saying, just keep it in your heart. Keep it in your heart. Don't be too quick to, well, I ain't going there. Well, then you've just exalted yourself and you become your own counselor. Every time that you say that or something like that, you're putting up resistance to what God said. Just ask Moses if that works. I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people. Every excuse that Moses gave for why he couldn't, God answered every excuse, and finally he ran out of excuses, and God said, you better go because I'm getting ticked off. The longer you resist God, the more angry he will become. And let's go down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. What was going on in that land? Famine. He sowed. Wow. And received in the same year, say the same year, 100-fold. And who blessed him? The Lord blessed him. Why? Because the Lord blessed his willingness and obedience, and now he's going to see the good of the land. See, you may not see the good of the land the moment you obey, but I'm telling you, you are scheduled for the good of the land. You are scheduled for the blessing of God. You will see the goodness of God manifested in your life if you're willing and obedient to walk it through. even if that means sowing a famine. Verse 13. And the man waxed great. What does that mean? He became rich. Say became. I thought he was rich. After all, he inherited all of Abraham's stuff. But guess what? Don't rely on the past. You got to hear God for right now. He did not rely on all that Abraham gave him. He heard God for himself. He developed his own spiritual relationship with God. He did it through being willing and obedient to stay where God said stay, even if it didn't look good, even if it didn't feel good. He did it because God said it, and the blessing of the Lord came on him. The man waxed great, he became rich, and went forward. That means continued to grow until he became very great. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, he started off good, but he got better. He got better. The more he was willing, the more he was obedient, the better it got until he became very great. Look at 14. For he had possession of flocks and herds and a great store of servants. Say a great store of servants. Now, if you need to shout about that, say amen about that. He had employees working for him. Say, that's me. If I'm willing and obedient. That's the key. Did he do what God said do? Did it seem, in the natural sense, like the right thing to do? No. It was a famine. He planted in a famine. And not only that, he reaped 100-fold the same year. Now that was supernatural. And look at the end of verse 15. The Philistines, what? Envied him. Now, think about this. A nation envied one man. Oh, come on. A nation was envious of the stuff that Isaac had so much stuff that a nation was envious of what he had. Oh, there is such a blessing on obedience that I can't even put it into words. It is so great and so awesome when we obey God and do what he said, when we're willing to do it, when we're willing to do no matter what, as long as he said it, I'm willing to do it. For those of you that shoveled this parking lot yesterday, you were willing and obedient, and I'm sure that it was tough. I know I had to shovel my own driveway. My back is still a little sore. Look at verse 16. Abimelech, you know, who was Abimelech? He was the king. He was the king of the Philistines at this time. Say he was a king. Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, you are much mightier than we. Isaac wasn't even a nation. But the king of the nation is telling Isaac to go, you're more mightier than us. Willingness and obedience has a great paycheck. Willingness and obedience will cause you to increase in your life. And we're going to talk about this the whole month, so. They even stopped up Isaac's wells that his father dug. But can you see what his obedience produced in his life? He could have just put it on, he could have just said, well, I'm just going to rely on Abraham because my father gave me all of his stuff, and I'm just going to rely on that. I'm just going to rely on what I have, and I'm not going to do anything to grow from there. What do you think would happen? You think he would have reaped 100-fold in the same year? You think the king would have envied him? No, he would have just been another rich person in the kingdom. But because the blessing of the Lord came upon him because he obeyed, and he was willing to do it. Well, God, it doesn't make sense to sow in a famine, but because you said it, I'm going to do it. It didn't make sense to Peter to cast out his nets after he'd worked all night, but he said, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do it. And when he did it, what happened? He caught so much fish, it almost sank two boats. See, being willing and being obedient has nothing to do with how you feel. But it has a lot to do with faith. Who do you put your trust in? Well, I trust my past. I trust my knowledge. Really? You think you're that great that you trust your knowledge? I don't trust my knowledge. But I do trust what God said. And sometimes God will tell you something that doesn't make sense. Don't try to reason with it in your mind. Don't try to figure it out. Has anyone ever been able to figure God out? You know, he said the foolishness of preaching, God uses the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. He uses the foolish things of this earth to confound the wisdom of this world. He uses the base things, the low things, to take care of the high and mighty. I can't figure God out, but I do know this, God's word works. So we got to tune in how we listen to him. Because the better you can listen, the better you can hear his voice, the quicker you can recognize his voice, the easier it is to obey, and you got to practice in the little things. Practice in the little things. Do a test. Make a list and write down how you respond to your flesh, to the Word of God, to other people, and see what dominates your response. Because the more we respond from the flesh, the less our spirit man is in control. And the less our spirit man is in control, the spiritually weaker we become. Because the Bible says to be carnally minded is what? Death. Romans 8. But to be spiritually minded, that means to think and act in line with God's word, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we have to check our obedience. How well do we obey God in the little things? All right? Let's go on. Go with me to John chapter 5. Verse 19. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Wow, this is the Son of God talking. "But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise." He was in such union, such agreement with the Father, that whatever the Father did, he did. In other words, Jesus' actions were reflective of the Father. He was in such close relationship with him that he basically mimicked the Father. What does the Bible say? Be imitators of me as I follow Christ. We are to imitate Christ. When you act like Christ, when you talk like Christ, when you do things like Christ did, guess what? You get his results. When you do what he did, when you say what he said, you get the same results. Why do you think we can say something in the name of Jesus? It's as if Jesus is right there saying the same thing. He gives us that authority to use his name to get the same results that he got. The works that I do, you can do also, but greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. But because he's with the Father, he gave us the same spirit that he had so that we can still be in agreement and union with him. And when we see what he does, when we hear what he says, we can say what he said and we can do what he did and we get the same results. He gave us that power and that ability. Amen? So the Son could do nothing of himself. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told God, he said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But he said what? Not my will, but yours be done. Even in death, he was willing to do what God brought him on this earth to do. He was willing to die on the cross. From the very moment he began to speak and he heard God's voice, he knew what he was here to do. When he was 12 years old, he was asking the religious leaders of his day questions. They were amazed at his questions. You know what, his parents forgot about him? And they went ahead a couple days and he was in the temple hanging. He was in church having a good time. And he knew, because he told his mom. She was all worried about him. You know, oh my gosh, my son, where have you been? Didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business? Now, if he can say that at 12, what's holding us up back? Are we about our Father's business? Are you doing what your Father said to do? Are you where your Father said to be? Are you who your Father created you to be? Well, before I met Christ, I was this person. But this person is dead. Now I'm a new man. So I get a do-over. Hallelujah. Thank God for a do-over. Thank God that his mercy, why is his mercy new every morning? Because we need mercy every day. We need mercy every day. Mercy helps us obey. God's mercy. You know, if you miss it, when God tells you to do something and you refuse and you miss it, there is mercy. Just don't get in the habit of missing it. Amen? When you miss it, be quick to repent. Be quick to make it right. Amen? When we miss it, he said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, how come our sins aren't forgiven? Because we haven't confessed. To obey that scripture means when we do something wrong, we confess it. The moment it comes to our heart, the moment it comes to us, we confess it. And the moment we do that, we're obeying, and his blessing of forgiveness and cleansing comes on us. Jesus said, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Talking about, he considered doing God's will like food. How we think of food, three times a day, and a snack in between. Jesus thought of doing God's will like eating. It was more important for him to do God's will than it was to nourish his body. Matter of fact, his nourishment, I mean, he did eat, all right? But on a priority level, if you had a choice, eat or do God's will, do God, I mean, you can read the Gospels. There were several times his meals were interrupted with crowds of people. How'd you like to be having dinner at your house and all of a sudden 150 people show up knocking on your door wanting ministry? Well, tell them I'll be there in half an hour as soon as I'm done eating. Some of those had sicknesses. They might have been dead. Who knows? I want to read you this illustration by Chuck Swindoll. He said, my wife and I had the pleasure of spending an evening with former astronaut General Charles M. Duke. All of us in the room sat in rapt fascination as the man told of the Apollo 16 mission to the moon, including some interesting tidbits related to driving the rover, the lunar vehicle, which was actually walking on the surface. And they had a lot of questions, and I asked, once you were there, weren't you free to make your own decisions or carry out some of your own experiments? You know, sort of do as you pleased, maybe stay a little longer if you liked. He smiled back, sure, Chuck, if we didn't want to return to Earth. He then described the intricate plan, the exact and precise instructions, the essential discipline, the instant obedience that was needed right down to the split second. By the way, he said, they had landed somewhat heavy when they touched down on the moon. He was referring to their fuel supply. They had plenty left. Guess how much? 1 minute. They landed with 60 seconds of fuel remaining. Talk about being exact. I got the distinct impression that a rebel doesn't fit inside a spacesuit. Whoever represents the United States in the space program must have an unconditional respect for authority. Wow. You must obey God even to the littlest instruction. It is so crucial because He has a greater sight of what's going on than we do. Our sight is limited, but He sees the whole picture. He knows what's ahead. He knows what Satan's trying to do, and His instruction will help you avoid the traps of the enemy. But the question is, are you willing and obedient? If you are, you will eat the good of the land. Say this, say, Father, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Be who you want me to be. I will obey whatever you say. If you say go, I'll go. If you say stay, I'll stay. So now, each one of us has made that confession. Now we're responsible to carry it out. There aren't any more excuses for not obeying what God says. There's not any more things to say for not being willing. God has your best interests at heart. And he wants us to obey Him because He is Lord. He made us, and He saved us, and we don't live for ourselves. We have to live for Him. That means He may ask us to come out of our comfort zone and do things we never thought we would do. I never thought I'd be in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. But I'm here. Why? Because He told me to be here. And I came. And He opened the door. And I'm here. And He's using me to touch people's lives. I'm simply a vessel. But God's not done with you yet. It's not too late to get in the game. Don't be a bench warmer when it comes to the things of God. Get involved. Get involved with the woven women. Get involved with the Barnabas men. Do what you can do. God doesn't ask you for anything more than what you have and what you can do. And anything that He says you can do, you can do. He equips you. when he says it, that his word is all the equipment you need to do what he's telling you to do. What if it's hard? Yeah? What if it's hard? He went to the cross. You think it's, anything's harder than the cross? Getting 40 lashes, or getting beat, getting a crown of thorns put on your head, having nails, getting nailed to a cross with your back torn up, bleeding, standing naked before everybody, can't even recognize you. You think that was hard? But he did it because he was willing and obedient. And the blessing of it is, you and I have come into the family because of what he did on the cross. And besides, when you compare the resurrection to the cross, there's no comparison. The cross was payment, it's done, but the resurrection is forever. Hallelujah. So it's time to come up higher in your walk with Christ. It's time to be open to do something other than what you have done in the past. Because if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. He's got blessings in store for you. We're going to get more into the blessing part as we go along. Amen? But I want to encourage you. Just obey God. If during worship the Lord puts on your heart to do something, just do it. That you got to practice obeying in the little things. And believe me, your flesh is not going to like it. When Jesus was in the garden, Luke says that his sweat became drops of blood. You think his flesh was eager to go to the cross? No, his flesh was screaming. But guess what? Who had the final say? His spirit. And he nailed our sins to the cross. Thank God. There's more in life than what we have right now, than what we see. In order to get the more, you got to be willing to invest your willingness and obedience into him. So I want to encourage you today. Be quick to obey. Quick to do what he says. Engage yourself in listening to what he's saying. In the sermons, through different people, through your spouse. You gotta remember that his voice can come in a lot of different ways, you know. If he's got to send an angel to appear to you, he's about to ask you to do something that's totally radical. Because angels didn't appear to everybody. Oftentimes, Paul said, I'm impressed. I have an impression to do this. 99.9, he speaks in a still small voice. He speaks to the inward man. He doesn't often appear like this. I mean, that's great when he does, but you know what? He's always speaking through his word. How much do you resist God in the little things? If you get in the habit of resisting him in the little things, it's going to be harder for you to obey in big things. You know, if you don't obey God when you only have a dollar, you're not going to obey him when you have $1 million. It doesn't work that way. He said, if you're faithful in little, I'll make you ruler over much. So let's take these little steps. Start obeying God. Many of you do. I'm not saying that you don't. There's so much more. Amen. There's more than what we can do. There's more that we can have. There's more that we can experience. But every time, every level you go to, it's going to cost you some willingness and obedience. Abraham's first instruction was to leave his house, leave his family, leave his homeland. And he didn't get the instruction to give his son until he developed in his relationship with the Lord. But the more you go with the Lord, sometimes the greater things he'll require of you. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And this has nothing to do with my notes. I'm just sharing as the Holy Spirit is on my heart. Father, I ask you to plant this seed of this message into our hearts. And Lord, help us to be quicker. Help us to be more compliant to your will. Lord, help us to not resist when you speak. And for some of us, it may take some work. It may take some practice. because you're so used to doing what you did in the past. But you know what? Your past is not your guide. What's from this day forward is what you have to focus on. The blood, your past is under the blood, but tomorrow is yet to be experienced. What you have is today. Start today. Let today be your day that you be different in your willingness and your obedience to God. Why don't we stand up, please? Here's what I'm going to do. If you need to talk with God, I just want you to come up. I want you to imagine.